You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations, available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 146, and in this episode, we'll continue reading from Volume 2. Today, we will pick up where we left off, and we were reading from the section of Saul and the Witch of Endor. We will continue reading and pick up, and we will get to the pagan Cyrenius of Cyprus before bringing our reading to a conclusion today. After the Sabbath day repast, when the Jews were taking their customary promenade, some Jewish women came to visit Jesse's wife. There, in Jesus' presence, they engaged in an instructive game, such as was unusual on the Sabbath. The converted Naomi was present. The game consisted of a combination of parables, enigmas, or questions calculated to instruct and edify. For example, such questions as the following were proposed. Where had each one her treasure? Did she put it out at high interest? Did she hide it? Did she share it with her husband? Did she leave it to her domestics? Did she carry it with her to the synagogue? Was her heart attached to it? Many of these questions turned upon the care of children, servants, etc. Jesus spoke also of oil and the lamp, of the burning of a well-filled lamp, of the spilling of the oil, applying all these things in a spiritual sense. One of the women was questioned on these points. She answered promptly and graciously, "Yes, Master, I take great care that the Sabbath lamp is always of the best." Her neighbors were very much amused at her words. They laughed at her, for she had not caught Jesus' meaning. He always gave a very striking explanation, and whoever made a wrong answer was obliged to give a present to the poor as a fine. The woman of whom I have spoken gave a piece of cloth. Jesus wrote also before each one an enigma in the sand with a reed, the answer to which had likewise to be written in the same way by one to whom it was addressed. In this manner, he revealed to each her evil inclinations and defects, so that she trembled with fear, though without the necessity of blushing before her neighbor. He advised them especially of the faults of which they were guilty at the last Feast of Tabernacles. For in the greater liberty they enjoyed at that time, and the merrymaking, than customary, they may easily have sinned. Several of these women afterwards spoke in private to Jesus, confessed their transgressions, and begged for penance and forgiveness. Jesus consoled them and reconciled them to God. During this instruction, the women were ranged in a semicircle under the portico of the courtyard. They sat on rugs and cushions, their backs resting against the stone benches. The disciples and friends of the family were standing on either side at some distance. There was no loud speaking, since the loiterers on the street could, by climbing the wall, have created disturbance, for they were all out in the open air. The women had brought with them as presents for Jesus all kinds of spices, conflicts, and perfumes. He gave them to the disciples, with directions to distribute them to the sick, poor, who never could get such luxuries. Before Jesus returned to the synagogue for the closing services of the Sabbath, the Herodians sent messengers to request him to meet them at a certain place in the city. since they wanted to speak with him. Jesus replied to the messengers with a severe expression. Say to those hypocrites that they may open their double-tongued mouths against me in the synagogue, for there shall I answer them and others. He added other hard names, and they went to the school. The Sabbath reading again treated of Jacob and Esau, of grace and the law, and of the children and servants of the Father. Jesus inveighed so vehemently against the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians, that their fury increased at each moment. The necessity in which Isaac had been of removing from place to place, and the filling up of the wells by the Philistines. Jesus applied to his own teaching, mission, and the persecution he endured from the Pharisees. Passing them to Malachias, he announced the fulfillment of his prophecy. My name shall be magnified upon the border of Israel, from the rising of the sun, even to the going down. My name is great among the Gentiles. Then he made known to them all the ways he had traversed on either side of the Jordan, in order to glorify the name of the Lord. He declared that he would continue his course to the end, and in severe language, he quoted against them these other words of the prophet. The son shall honor the father and the servant his master. His enemies were confounded and had nothing to reply. When the crowd had left the synagogue, and Jesus likewise had withdrawn from the disciples, he suddenly found his way blockaded in one of the courts by the Pharisees. They surrounded him in one of the halls and demanded that he should answer some questions. It was not necessary, they said, for the people to hear all that they had to say, and they proposed to him all kinds of captious questions, especially upon their relations to the Romans, who were here stationed. Jesus' answer reduced them to silence. When at last, with flattery and menaces, they demanded that he should give up traveling around with disciples, desist from preaching and curing, else they would denounce and punish him as a disturber of the peace, as a seditious character. He replied, until the end shall ye find upon my footsteps the ignorant, the sinful, the poor, the sick, and my own disciples, those whom ye have abandoned to their ignorance and sinfulness, whom ye have left in their poverty and misery. Seeing that they could gain nothing by their artful words, they left the synagogues with him. Outwardly they assumed a courteous demeanor, but inwardly they were full of rage, though not unmixed with admiration. The pagan Cyrenius of Cyprus. From the school, Jesus went in the evening twilight, accompanied by the disciples and the people, who had awaited him outside the synagogue up to Thabor. A multitude of others and some of his own relatives were already there assembled. Jesus sat down on the mountain, his hearers reclining or sitting below at his feet. The stars were twinkling in the sky, and the moon was shedding around her gentle radiance. Jesus taught until late into the night. He often did this even after a toilsome day's work, but in the midst of a little band of pious souls, the peace was then more profound. His audience less distracted, the heavens, the stars, the wide expanse of nature, the pleasant coolness of the air, the stillness reigning around, fell like soothing balm upon men's souls. They heard their teacher's voice more distinctly, comprehended his words more easily, were less confused at hearing their own faults, laid bare, carried his instructions home with them, and pondered them with fewer distractions. This was especially the case in the magnificent region in which Jesus now was, in the wide prospect that unfolded from the heights of Thabor. The mount itself, on account of the sojourn of Elias and Malachias, upon it for a time, was held in special veneration. When Jesus was returning home late in the night, followed by the crowd, there approached him on the way a pagan from Cyprus, who had been present at the instructions. He was one of the occupants of Jesse's house and had something to do connected with the manufacture of the essential oils. Up to this time, however, he had kept aloof through a spirit of humility. But now Jesus took him into a room of the house where he sat with him alone, as he had done with Nicodemus, instructing him and answering the questions that he put so humbly, yet with so eager a desire of learning the truth. This pagan, a man most noble and wise, was named Cyrenius. His remarks were most profound, and he received Jesus' instructions with indescribable humility and joy. Jesus, on his side, was very loving and confidential toward him. Cyrenius said that for a long time past he had been sensible of the emptiness of idolatry, and had longed to become a Jew, but that there was one thing which presented an insuperable objection, namely, circumcision. He asked whether it was not possible to attain salvation without it. Jesus answered him in words both familiar and significant regarding that mystery. He might, said Jesus, circumcise his senses, his heart, and his tongue from carnal desires and pleasures, and then go to Capernaum for baptism. At these words, Cyrenius asked why he did not preach that openly, for he thought that if Jesus did so, many pagans who were longing for it would be converted. Jesus answered that if he should say such a thing to the multitude, blinded as they were by their prejudices, they would certainly put him to death, and one must not scandalize the weak. Again, abolishing circumcision might give rise to multiplied sects. Besides, the law was necessary for some of the pagans as a means of trial and sacrifice. But now that the kingdom of God was drawing near, the covenant of circumcision in the flesh was fulfilled, and the circumcision of the heart and the spirit must take its place. Cyrenius inquired also as to the sufficiency of John's baptism, and Jesus spoke with him upon that point. He told Jesus about many people who were sighing after him in Cyprus, and complained to him of his two sons, who, though otherwise very virtuous, were fierce enemies of Judaism. Jesus consoled him and promised that, after he fulfilled his missions, his sons would yet become zealous workers in his vineyard. These sons were, I think, called Aristarchus and Trophimus. They afterwards became disciples of the apostles. This most touching nocturnal interview lasted till morning. On the sunny side of the mountain were large reservoirs hewn out of the rocky wall, and in them were vessels belonging to Jesse, in which were prepared perfumes from herbs and other substances. The oil dropped from one vessel into another, making many a turn in its course. This brings us to the end of our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Jesus, in our reading today, was speaking of oil and the lamp and the burning of a well-filled lamp, of the spilling of the oil. And Anne Catherine Emmerich says, applying all these things in a spiritual sense, go about your day with a spiritual mindset. What is happening? What are you seeing? What are you witnessing? How does the rising sun give you a spiritual sense? How does something happening to you remind you of the spiritual life? Try to find the hidden spiritual meaning in the happenings of your daily life. Jesus is teaching, he's doing just that by the parables and the examples he gives. We also have this account of the pagan Cyrenius of Cyprus today. And as we meet him and as we learn more about him and as Jesus teaches and tells him something, I think the first thing we should marvel at is that he is described as with an eager desire of learning the truth. The truth. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That the words of Jesus are the truth. That the words of Jesus and his teachings are truth. And in society, we've taken these teachings of Jesus and some have rejected them. Jesus didn't really teach that. I'm going to make up my own teaching and I will call that truth. When it comes to truth, we call this relativism, that what's true for you isn't necessarily true for me. But we know that there are supreme truths, divine truths, revealed to us by Almighty God and by his Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, and how the Holy Spirit leads us to all truth. So we should have an eager desire of learning the truth. It's why we read. It's why we study. It's why we listen to Anne Catherine Emmerich, because we want to know the truth. We want to follow the true way of Jesus Christ. And the second thing worthy of mention about this today, this reading about Cyrenius of Cyprus, is that Cyrenius asks this question about circumcision. We know that in the early church that Paul and Peter are going to be divided over this question of circumcision, but it seems right here we get a clear answer from Jesus. Circumcision is not necessary for a believer. Circumcise your senses, your heart, your tongue. We can find other ways of circumcision. Dare I say it's a spiritual circumcision. Going back to that spiritual sense that Jesus talked about today earlier in our reading. And finally, Cyrenius is concerned about his sons, that they are fierce enemies of Judaism. Jesus consoles Cyrenius. He says, your sons will become zealous workers in the vineyard. Aristarchus and Trophimus, they will become disciples of the apostles. You know what that gives us? Great hope. Because many of you listening have children who are away from the faith, and you wonder if they'll ever become believers. Cyrenius, his sons, will become laborers in the vineyard. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't lose hope. Let this story and this reading today provide you the hope you need. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others, share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.